see everyone here today. We welcome the Ayer and Kroger families. Nice to see all of you today.
Yeah.
He was
She's happy. Just look at her. Don't look at me. It's time for our announcements. Does anyone have anything in the group you'd like to share?
You see over there the painting that the church is giving to Pastor Tim and Lisa. And you may order prints of it. There's a clipboard on the piano bench there if you want to order prints of it. And you can decide this week or next week, but after that it's going to go to them.
Carbon Red is Saturday. Ooh. Right?
Yeah.
We all sell all full? All full?
They're maybe one or two spots left.
One or two spots. Come on. Learn how to make Carbon Red. How to make it, y'all. And next week we're going to have a confirmation Sunday. We don't have a confirmation class. It's graduating, but we're going to have the kids come in and they're going to practice doing church service, so they're going to learn how to do that, so they're going to want to come here every week. So that's going to be good. Anyone have anything else they would like to share or bless us with this morning? Don't drop the baby, I got it. My number one thing, I'm looking for football gloves. Stickiness, so. Well, then let us now start our introit.
Thank you.
Good morning. Please stand if you are able for our call to worship. The congregation will read the bold. We have been claimed by the God who calls us children. As with the Israelites, God promises to pass us through the water.
We will not fear, for God is with us.
The river shall not overwhelm us, for God is our guide and our protector.
Through God's saving grace, the waters that tested us are now the waters that wash us and nourish us.
Great is the fount of every blessing. Come, let us worship the God who washes us in grace. Remain standing for our hymn, How Great Thou Art.
I hear the rolling thunder.
please bow and pray with me? Lord God, you are the Almighty, yet our Papa God. Your love has never failed humanity. You are always calling us to your pure and giving love. We know you will lead us to green pastures and still waters. Help us to dive into all that you have promised, for your promises are sure and settling to our souls. In truth, there is no fear. In you, all of life exists and is held together. May we worship you with all that we are, and may we be blessings in your kingdom. We praise and celebrate you, the one and only, Lord of lords and King of all kings. Our hope is in you alone. Amen. Now saying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Our first Old Testament reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And our first gospel reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, and that's page 787 in your pew Bible. Do not store up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. And our second gospel reading is from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. And that's page 873 in your pew Bible. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of my Father's hand.
The Father and I are one. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today, Courtney and Chris bring their daughter to the Church for the Sacrament of Holy Baptism. We rejoice in God's promise to those taking this significant step of faith. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, as God called and chose his servant people of Israel and made a covenant with them, saying, "I will be your God and you will be my people.
So in the fullness of time, God called and chose Jesus Christ to fulfill this covenant for all. Through his birth, life, and death, and resurrection, God has made a new covenant of grace whereby we say, I am yours and the people you have given me. Today we come to claim the promises of that new covenant, rejoicing that our Savior Jesus Christ instituted baptism as a visible sign of the covenant, making our washing with water by the word, our habitat of Christ crucified and risen, and bonding in water with brothers and sisters in Christ. Our solidarity with those with whom he is in solidarity, and our commissioning to serve in Jesus' name. Covenant with Jesus Christ, do you renounce all powers of evil and declare your opposition to a way of life in contradiction to the gospel? Relying on God's grace, do you promise to teach the word of God to your child, to pray for and help her in every way so that she may become a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Empowered by the Holy Spirit, do you promise to enable healing participate fully in the life of the local body of Christ and to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God? Keep going. You, the sponsors, promise to pray for and support these parents and the promises that they have made, as well as to pray for and help this child confess God. You promise to uphold and support him and her life in Christ. If so, say with God's help, we will.
With God's help, we will.
Bow in prayer with me, please. God, our Creator and our Redeemer, you have called us from death to a new life. We thank you for your loving, saving love in Jesus Christ, our Lord, for the sacrament of grace. What it means to the church. As we baptize with water, baptizing with the Holy Spirit. As we speak, let it be your word. As we act, let us do your work in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good.
Yeah.
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 Elin,
Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Go in the joy and serve the Lord. Amen.
Wonderful working with you, Eli. She did a great job, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
This morning we are able to share in one of the most significant events in the life of a child and their Christian parents, as Elin Malley's heir was presented before us to God in the sacrament of baptism. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, you send your Son into this world to become our shepherd, to guide us, to teach us, and to show us the truth and the depth of your steadfast love and faithfulness. We ask your blessing on young Elin, that one day she will stand before you with open and willing heart, exclaiming you as her personal Lord and Savior. Jesus, you are our shepherd, the good shepherd who gave his life for us. You know us by name, and if we're ever lost, your spirit in our hearts will be like a beacon so that we know we will always be searched for, found, and brought back safe. Safe and secure like a baby you on your shoulders. This we ask in our Savior's holy name. Amen. The Psalm of David, first three verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It is pure speculation to try to figure out when Psalm 23 was written. It could have been when King Saul was chasing David and his men, trying to kill them. According to 1 Samuel 23, they're hiding in the caves in the Dead Sea at En Gedi. Saul discovers David's camp and comes to try to kill the man who is more popular than he, the king, ever since he killed David and Goliath. David killed Goliath. You can just imagine Saul's men in their armor marching across the grounds in the desert, swords and shields glistening in the desert sunlight, searching for David and his men. David is hunkered down in a cave. He's afraid to even make one little noise, or if a little fallen rock makes enough of a noise, he will be found. And as he's in there, he looks outside and he sees a shepherd and some sheep. And a sense of peace and calm comes over him, because David is reminded of the years when he was a shepherd for his father's sheep. He's also reminded of God's care and protection over him. So he writes down, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We pray this peace and calm over Elin in the days of and times of trouble before her in her lifetime. She will always turn to the Lord, her protector. "I am from the land of Palestine. I am a shepherd," says Yosef ben Benyamin. Shalom. He writes, "Did you know that in the Bible God refers to his people as sheep over 200 times? Let me tell you that this is not a compliment to be called a sheep. Why not eagles? They're majestic, they're swift, and they're beautiful. No, God calls us his sheep. Why not lions? Strong and fearless and terrifying. Instead, he calls us sheep. Be compared to a sheep is basically an insult. A sheep is perhaps the stupidest animal on the face of the earth. Have you ever seen a trained sheep in the circus? I mean, you see elephants and you see horses and bears and seals, you even see hippos. But not sheep. They're too stupid to train. Sheep are also filthy. The fluffy white sheep that you see on television, they didn't get that way themselves. The owners and the people, they cleaned them all up and got them all ready. The shepherd or his hired hands have to do that for them. Not only are the sheep dumb and dirty, but sheep are also utterly defenseless. They have no claws, they have no fangs, they have no wings, they can't run fast, they can't scare anybody. All they can do, they can't even spray like a yucky scent or something to chase someone away. All they can do is bleat. Bleat. That's it. Ah. That's it. That's all they got. Sheep are completely reliant on their shepherds. Their lives and well-being depend on the shepherd. If God calls us his sheep, I wonder what he is really trying to say. I'm pretty sure that David knew this. David writes from the heart and from experience. He is one with his work, and he's one with the Lord. Psalm 23 is a psalm of David. David is someone who most of us, we can associate well with David. He knew what it was like to be a lowly servant. He knew what it was like to be in battle. He knew what it was like to be a leader in charge of the Israelites. He knew how to be a king. Shepherd to thousands. And he knew what sin was all about, having committed murder and adultery. He was a brilliant fighter, and he was an excellent magician. Maybe that's why most of us know the story of David so well, because we can all associate with him in one way or another. He's a man who had a vast array of experience. When we see that David wrote this psalm through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, our sinful ears are more apt to perk up immediately. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There must be some of the most discouraging prayers God has ever heard in the world. I want. I want. I want. God knows what we need. I mean, there are bad things and there are bad wants and there are good wants. But we tend to put those bad wants in the way of ever reaching any of our good wants. Bad wants tend to get in the way. I mean, I need to lose weight. I know I need to eat healthier. I know that I need to go on a diet, and I need to exercise more. I need to read the Bible more. I need to spend a lot more time in prayer. Those are all my good wants. I want to accomplish them. The bad want is I really don't want to start them right away. I will get to them, and they're on my to-do list. But I'm sure that we all have things on our want list for him that we pray about. When someone says, I shall not want, we need to sit up and take notice because we live in the age of discontentment. Listen to words of Jason Lehman. It was spring, but it was summer that I wanted, the warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall that I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I really wanted, the beautiful snow and the holiday season. It was winter. But you know, it was spring that I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood that I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 that I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. Then my life was over, and I never got what I wanted. In a cemetery in England, there's a gravestone with the inscription, "She died of want of things." Alongside the stone is another which read, "He died trying to give them to her." Max Lucado refers to discontentment as a prison of want. Its prisoners want something bigger, nicer, faster, thinner. If your happiness comes from something that you deposit, drive, drink, or digest, then you're in a prison of want. Are you hoping that the change in circumstances will change your attitude? If so, you're locked up. You're in the cell of discontentment. Allow the power of simplicity of verse 1 to permeate your person. What you have is your shepherd is greater than what you don't have in life. Do you believe that? What you have in your shepherd is greater than what you don't have in life. Fred H. Wright, in his book, Manners and Customs of Bible Land, about the care and love of sheep that the shepherd has for his sheep, the shepherd is deeply interested in every single...
No.
Yes. He is. The shepherd is deeply interested in every single one of his flock. They are usually counted every evening as they enter the fold, but sometimes the shepherd knows his sheep so well, he knows when one is missing and not there. He often walks by their side and sometimes follows behind, especially if the flock is headed for a fold in the evening. From the rear, he can gather any stragglers and protect them from any attack from any kind of wild animal. Jesus has that personal relationship with us, if we let him. He wants to walk by our side. He is willing to follow behind to protect us from any kind of attack. Do you believe that? Wright also says that the skill of the shepherd and personal relationship to them is clearly seen when he guides them along a narrow path. The shepherd in Psalm says, "He leadeth me besides in the path of righteousness." The grain fields are seldom fenced in, and the hedge on the Bible lands, and sometimes there's only a narrow path that runs between the pastures and the fields, and the sheep are forbidden to eat from the fields and crops. Thus, in guiding the sheep on such a plan, the shepherd has to really watch out for the sheep and guide them carefully, because if any of them eat any of the grain, he has to pay the owner of that field. Philip Keeler, a shepherd and a writer, says that there must be a predetermined plan of action, a deliberate plan rotation from one grazing ground to another in line with the right and proper principles of sound management. This is precisely the sort of action and idea that David had in mind when he spoke about led in the paths of righteousness. And following this precise plan of operation, there's a secret for healthy flocks and healthy land. Guideth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The word used, paths, refers to a well-defined and a well-worn trail. Most definitely not my treadmill. This is one more bit of evidence about how stupid sheep really are. Even when the path is perfectly clear and marked, sheep will always stray. Since the shepherd knows the trail, he can guide them the best way that he can. Trust in God. Sometimes I feel like Donkey in the movie Shrek. Shrek and Donkey are walking along the mountainside, and they come to that rickety old bridge going towards the castle, and Shrek is telling Donkey that he can make it. He just keeps going, and he keeps looking up. He can make it. He starts walking and talking and going along, and then his foot goes through the bridge, and he's screaming, "I'm looking down, I'm looking down." That's us when we fail to put our trust in God. The minute something goes wrong, we're crying out to God, "Help me." Donkey continues yelling because he doesn't believe that he will make it across until he realizes that he's already there, safely on the other side. God longs to lead us on the paths of righteousness, if we will just let him. Most of us know the right road of which we should be taking. Because of our selfishness, our sinfulness, we're often led astray. We need the shepherd to guide us in the right direction. We need a shepherd who will lead us in the paths of righteousness. And he does this for the sake of his name. God guides us for his sake, not for ours. His reputation is at stake. His character is on display. His name is Yahweh, and he will accomplish his purpose and lead us on the proper paths. Before Jesus was born, Matthew 1:21 said, an angel promised Joseph that Mary would bring forth a son. He said to call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. But the salvation Jesus would bring was salvation from sin. Many people do not appreciate the salvation Jesus offers because they do not realize that they need it. But all people become sinners, so everyone needs salvation. Jesus offers complete salvation for all sins. Hebrews 7:25, Jesus is able to save the utmost those who come to God through him. Sometimes people fear that they have committed some sin that is just so great that they can never be forgiven. This is only true if we choose not to repent. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus had to die for our sins. Romans 5, 6-10, when we were without strength, helpless, and unable to save ourselves, Christ died for the ungodly. This is how we can be saved from the wrath and reconciled to God. This is why Jesus had to come to earth as a man. As God, he could not die, but by becoming a man, he could suffer death and pay the penalty for our sins. Jesus had to rise from the dead. Romans 5:10 said, we are reconciled by his death and saved by his life. His life after death, his resurrection. Hebrews 2:14, through death he destroyed the power of death. But this required him to be raised from the dead, thereby proving that someday we will all be raised from the dead. Isaiah 43:11, besides me there is no Savior. Christ offers salvation that no one else can offer. Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. It's important that we recognize that the term childlike faith is not even found in the Bible. When people refer to childlike faith or faith like a child, they have in their mind all sorts of things that Jesus has said, like in Matthew 18:3 and Mark 10:4, where he teaches that the kingdom of heaven belongs to little children. Mark 10, but when Jesus saw it, he said, he was indignant, and he said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Jesus is encouraging his listeners to humble themselves like a child and to receive him like a child if they want to see the kingdom of heaven. Is Jesus your Savior? Is Jesus your shepherd? Is he the Lord of all of your life? Seeing the kingdom of heaven is not about life after death, but about living and experiencing God's life in this life, here and now. This is what Jesus had in mind when he teaches about becoming like a little child, experiencing the life of God. And this life requires humility, humility like a child. It means maintaining the wonderful and beautiful characteristics and qualities of children that life in this sinful world tends to beat out of us. Let's keep the child in us alive. A substitute teacher asked his class one day, "How many of you can quote Psalm 23? Several of the children raised their hands, including a little girl who was about 4 years old. The teacher was surprised that someone so young would know Psalm 23, so he asked her to recite it in class. She stood up and said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want." She had the words mixed up, but understood the message perfectly. The Lord is my shepherd. That is all that I want. Amen.
Just close your eyes and just pray with me for a second. Good morning, Father. What a beautiful way to start the day, Lord. We thank you for the blessings you heap upon us. On this church community, this beautiful child, I can't think of a greater gift that you give us than to be in the presence of a baptism, of an offering of the hope that is represented by that beautiful baby. But Lord, I thank you for this church family because, like all church families, we experience this road together. Yesterday, we gathered in this room and celebrated a life lived and a life gone, and we celebrated with love and helped each other through the grief of that process. And this morning, here we are in the same room, celebrating with that same love in anticipation of how a life is going to be laid out and our part in it. And I thank you for that reminder, Father, that that is what life is all about, and that the common denominator in all these things is this love that you give us. So, Father, as we leave this place, I ask that you would remind us that we would be able to look at each other in the world the way that little baby did as he traveled around this room with just this sense of wonder, looking at all the people in here. It doesn't know a soul in this place, but just with that trust and awe. So I hope you would help us look at each other like that and remember that all we really have to offer when we leave this place is love. So Father, for the communities outside here, the community up in Buffalo that's grieving this morning, trying to figure out how it is that somebody could look at somebody they didn't know and see it in any other way than that, remind us that the only thing that combats that kind of hate is this love that is flowing in this room this morning, and help us bring that out of here. So to each other and in any way that we could possibly pour it out of ourselves, help us see each other the same way you see us, Father, which is as your children, all equal. We live, we love, we joy, we grieve, but we all do all the things together, and we share in that love. I lift these things up in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
So find the song on the insert, and if you'd like to stand, you may stand.
beautiful day today.
It's just great to be here, but it's also great to get back to God and come here to worship with us.
Let the words of the Lord Jesus Christ dwell in you.
Let the words of the Lord Jesus Christ dwell in you.
And whatever you say, and whatever you do,
and whatever you say, and whatever you do,
do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead to give you new life in Him. Let the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ rule your heart.
Let the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ rule your heart.
And whatever your gift, and whatever your part,
and whatever your gift, and whatever your part,
do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead to give you new life in Him. Let the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ guide your way.
Let the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ guide your way.
Whether walking